WGN, it's the Wintrust Business Lunch, which on Wednesdays features Terry Savage, the money lady, the author of Social Security Horror Stories. She teaches people how to avoid clawbacks. Her syndicated column is seen everywhere, and you can always find her at terrysavage.com. Hi, Terry Savage.
Hello, John. Interesting days we live in, aren't they?
Huh. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I think is happening right here is we are getting ready for tariffs phase two. At least that's what I'm writing in my newsletter, which you can sign up for at my website. It's free, and I write it when I get in the mood, and I'm in the mood because I see something changing. You know, it was just 1 month ago, I mean literally 1 month ago, that we had that press conference with the huge tariffs that were shocking and surprising even to those who believed in tariffs and so forth. And ever since then, the market's been back and forth, up and down, trying to regain the footing, trying to say, well, there will be deals, or it will be better, it'll be fine, it'll eventually lead to jobs. So the last month, we've talked about warning people not to get panicked, but to have money set aside so they don't panic. Now, phase two, I believe, is going to be when we really feel the impact of the tariffs. We are getting all kinds of reports. I mean, for the last month, everybody learned more about tariffs and economic history than they could ever remember from high school econ or college econ classes. Now, we're going to see what happens when the impact hits consumers. We're already getting reports of Chinese factories slowing down or shutting down, of container ships decline in 30% in port loadings in China. And then it will be felt, I heard on an interview with the West Coast Ports Authority, that they're already seeing fewer ships coming to unload. And many items remaining in the containers because the merchants don't want to pay the tariffs on them. And once they accept the merchandise, they have to pay the tariffs. So then now you're going to see a backup in the ports and the trucking that brings products to the Midwest. And I think within the next 60 days, we're going to learn Econ 102 tariffs, which is either there will be shortages or the products that do get through will have higher prices. I was saying to Lisa Dent yesterday afternoon, Lisa, you're going to do a call-in show where you're going to ask people, what did you see that was so outrageously much higher priced than it was in January?
Well, I bring that up now, and I don't get calls on that because
not
people
yet.
Don't see it yet.
No, not yet, because many merchants bought in advance. They were trying to front run those tariffs, so we haven't seen that yet. So I think, I would guess by July 4th, you will begin to have this general awareness that things aren't right. So, and the news today and yesterday presage an economic slowdown. Yesterday, we got consumer confidence plummeting to levels we haven't seen really since 2011. They said 20 since the pandemic, but actually to a level not seen since 2011 at the end of that financial crisis. And today, now this is interesting. Everybody thought that the first quarter GDP would be slow but positive. The report out this morning, which always gets revised, showed a negative, slightly negative, 0.3%, a decline in GDP. Now we remember, because we've been studying Econ 101 here, that what the definition of a recession is, two consecutive negative quarters of GDP. So we are, halfway toward that definition of a recession. You and I have been talking about it for 6 weeks or so.
Well, Terry, do you think that as the president is softening his tariff stance on cars and trucks, I wonder if, I mean, he will tweet that he doesn't like this or believe this, these are fake polls, but he and they know better than that. I wonder if realizing that they will maybe pull back on some of the numbers.
You know, absolutely. I mean, it's astounding to think that the numbers, particularly on China, could stand. But even so, there's a 10% tariff everywhere. The relationships have been damaged. The ability to plan, whether you're a farmer saying, do I plant soybeans? Illinois, I know we have a lot of farm listeners. They write to me sometimes. Do we plant soybeans? We are the largest exporting state for soybeans. China is our largest customer, but they could get those from Brazil. So So when a farmer says, I'm not going to plant, that means he's not going to go buy a new John Deere tractor, maybe. So the impact of the uncertainty, the impact of the tariffs that already exist, and the delayed decisions. Just think about this. Merchants are now buying back-to-school merchandise. They're, any minute they start buying, or they would have been starting to buy.
Christmas. Yeah.
And this is already in the mentality, and more importantly, the economy, the economic decisions and purchasing decisions. Adam, not so much for, are you going to go out and do this or buy this or take this trip? Although we're starting to see consumers be aware of it. So what I think phase two is that the uncertainty is already in the commercial, the business side of the economy. And now we're all going to see it. How we react, do you react by saying, I'm still going to buy that. If it costs more, I'll put it on my credit card? Or do you say, that was a good idea to go to Europe this summer, but the dollar doesn't buy as much, and who knows if we'll have a job?
We tend to do the former in this
country.
Yes,
that's right.
Which is a problem unto itself, isn't it? We'll pick the conversation up here in just a minute. Terry Savage here, terrysavage.com, the financial lady. Terry, what else is on your mind?
No, John, I just think that it's tough to be trying to figure out what to do here. I just posted... So it seems like I just painted a negative picture. We had a jobs report. The ADP jobs report was also disappointing. Fewer jobs being created. And then we'll have the first of the month report on Friday for jobs. So there's no doubt we're going to see the economy slowing. And because of that, interest rates have come down a little bit today. 6-month T-bills just under 4.2%. By the way, tomorrow you'll get a new rate on I-bonds, and it will be actually a little higher because of the inflation adjustment.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of I-bonds anymore, but it'll have a lower floor, 1.1%.
Why don't you like I-bonds so much now?
The total for this 6 months is 3.98%, a low floor of 1.1%, a variable rate adjustment of 2.86. So you're guaranteed 1.1% plus the inflation adjustment. They're nothing special anymore. I'd rather just have the liquidity of rolling over T-bills every 6 months.
Right.
Doesn't mean you have to sell your old ones. What I'm saying is that people are now going to have to start making decisions based on how, not what you hear about the impact of tariffs or inflation because prices go up or a recession because the economy slows. That's all econ, you know, the stuff I listen to and watch every day, and how the markets looking down the road react to it. I think we're coming to the moment now in the next few months where people have to go, how does this impact me and my family? What's my job security? I think the rubber hits the road now.
Well, let me
even ask. Even if they announce some deals, significantly higher tariffs on China are going to have a real impact on consumer
Okay, but let
life.
Me just mention a couple of things here. 630 texted in and said, I'm an interior designer. Tariffs already on shades, blinds, fabric rods from 3 to 10% on my wholesale prices. But 816 said, so what are we supposed to do, Terry? Keep getting ripped off by China? The president calls some of these reciprocal, and I understand the logic behind that.
Well, I think this could be done more strategically. I do not consider it a ripoff to get cheap stuff from China. I consider it a concern that we have medicines that are only made in China, that we have some technology, maybe which they stole, but product that relates to chips and manufacturing that's only done in China. Of course that's a concern. But I don't think low-income people, I mean, first of all, rich people are going to keep buying whatever it is that rich people buy, you know, expensive cars and Prada purses, not going to make a difference. But for people who were able to make their dollar stretch further by going to the dollar store, for example, or importing those little gray packages that come in plastic, which will now cost $100 more no matter what piece of plastic's inside of it, this is going to impact Americans who have just been getting by, haven't had the high wages.
Listen
and
to this.
I don't think opening a plastics factory that makes that junk, I'm not just going to label it as stuff or junk, that people need is going to create jobs that make people's standards of living rise. I think those things costing more will impact a lot of people in their standard of living on a negative way.
John, have you looked at the price of bananas lately? They were up 20 cents a pound this week. They were imported. Here's an example, John. Bonnie Maman Fig Preserves in December.
Oh, bon moment. Yes,
bon
okay.
Pardonnez-moi. $5.97 a jar in December. Now that jar is $12.50.
Whoa.
Almost 200%, which is...
makes me want to get up and look in my refrigerator. I use the orange. Bon
why moment. We need to know how much we are paying in tariffs. Hello, Jeff Bezos. There was one other I was going to mention to you. John, I'm a customs broker here in Chicago. We clear shipments through customs for importers. There is an exemption from the reciprocal tariffs for shipments already in transit before they went into effect in early April. I still have shipments arriving from China that are not yet getting hit with the 125% duties. That's good to know. I think a lot of this is going to be delayed, but that's the thing, Terry. That's why
the whole point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
That it's just that even though we've been hearing about it and it's been the tariffs are coming, and thank you to that customs broker, it hasn't hit us yet. That's why I said 30 to 60 days when the stuff that's in process or is already here and stocked up on gets sold, then what? So there's kind of like a delayed reaction. And I think maybe that's phase two of tariffs when it really hits home.
815 says, hey, Terry Savage, with somebody with 50% equity in their home right now, would you recommend selling it or renting it?
Gee, someone posted that question on my blog, and I answered, well, I don't know. Whether you sell your home has nothing whatsoever to do with your equity in it. It has to do with, is this where I want to live? Will I be able, given my situation, to continue to afford to live here? Is there going to be a recession? If I know I want to sell in the next year or two, do I want to sell now? Is that the question? It has nothing to do with the equity you have in your home.
Well, it might also be about the market's pretty good for real estate still. So.
There was a great report about Chicago real estate out yesterday or maybe the day before about prices. You know, there's no reason to rush to sell unless you think a recession is coming and people will lose confidence and the next buyer won't come along because they'll be concerned.
Well, maybe you're onto something there.
That's the question, of course.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're talking with Terry Savage. Lots of texts coming in. China taking advantage of us. We are taking advantage of low-wage workers. They are boosting our economy by investing here. Prices most likely will not come down after tariffs go away, said another listener. Somebody else said, how will we keep track of the corporations, big and small, that raise prices and blame terrorists and tariffs that didn't impact them that much? Yeah, I understand that, and I don't know that there's any way to know about that. Terry, lots of questions and comments today about what you've said so far.
You will read the comments. Everybody's entitled to an opinion. What I'm trying to do is prepare your personal finances. So if, in fact, this impacts our economy, whether you like it or not, whether you believe that they're ripping us off or we're ripping them off, they're not really investing here. We could sit and have a long glass of wine and discussion about all these points. What I'm here for is, okay, so what do you do? What do you do to prepare? What do you do not to be surprised? If in fact, and I can't give you a crystal ball, but if in fact all these shortages or dislocations or distortions, even in the next year or two, before maybe we have all kinds of factories and jobs and so forth created down the road, but that's a good possibility. But for the next year or two, if what happens is the verbiage turns into real physical shortages, it turns into my husband is a long-haul trucker and now there's no stuff to haul because it's not coming in, or I have a small business and I've got nothing because I couldn't make money if I sold stuff at X that I used to buy it at, plus the tariff, plus the this. The question is, what do you do? Does that impact corporate earnings? Is that fully discounted in the stock market? I don't know. Does that impact interest rates? Is there going to be a recession? Maybe rates will come down. So the question is, how will it impact your life? And for each person, it'll be different. If you're older, you're retired, you are not redecorating your house. You are not you're not buying a new house. You're not counting on, I'm going to go to Wayfair and have a Wayfair day and buy everything for unbelievably low prices. Because once they sold out of the stuff they have and they can't get it from China for those prices, you know, so the stuff reverberates, and I'm asking you to contemplate the possibility that your life may in some way be disrupted. It could be the medicines you got cheaply, the generics that were made in China are suddenly more expensive. That could happen too.
773 said, my bags of coffee at the grocery store went from $7.99 a pound to $11.99 a pound. There is a tariff on stuff coming from South and Central America, and that's where our coffee comes from.
Exactly.
John, how will we keep track? Oh, I already mentioned that one. Terry Savage, I sold my home, and I will rent it. What are the best investments other than low-interest CDs? I don't want to get into the stock market. So somebody's got a little windfall now. What should they do with this cash?
So whenever someone stops in on the street or in a restaurant and says, could I just ask you one question? Could I just ask you, I got this, I have an inheritance, or I sold my house. What do I do with the money? I say, well, look them right in the eye and I say, how much of it are you willing to lose? Okay, that's a real wait a minute moment. If you say to me, I really don't want to lose any, but it's not that significant. I'd really like to see if I could get a better return than 4% on a little over 4% on 6-month T-bills. We could talk. But if the immediate reaction is, well, I don't want to lose a penny, then anything over 4.2% for short-term money inherently involves risk. And I'm suddenly starting to see people say, well, someone wants to sell me an annuity at this, that, and the other thing. We want 100% safety annuities, even the multi-year, you know, guaranteed annuities. That's the insurance industry's version of a CD, and they can do more with your money and you get a little higher rate. But the guarantee is from the insurance company, or really an unfunded state insurance guarantee fund. That those are not funded. So yeah, you could get a little bit more.
Well, doesn't 4.2%, does 4.2 sound pretty good to you right now?
4.2% sounds lovely to me right now, because inflation is running at about 2.5%.
And you can get 4.2, and yet you, I'll just tell you what I hope, and I also think, but I hope more than I think, that these markets will recover. And that people who have the opportunity to put money into index funds or sectors are going to benefit in the next 2 years. They're going to be glad they bought in April of 2025.
So you're putting your money on that, John? Are you putting your money where your mouth is?
I think I am, to be honest with you, because I haven't changed the way I put money away for retirement, and a fair percentage of it is in equities. And
okay,
I don't like what's happening, but I'm hoping and I'm thinking that I'm going to be around to witness the recovery.
John, we are not letting you retire. So you keep investing, okay? That's the whole thing. Nobody's going to ever let you retire. But there are some people who already are retired, and they have a different attitude. I'm going to do this, put this, my current column in the newsletter that's going to go out later today or tomorrow morning. And it talks about the idea that there's a very fine line between fear and faith in this economy. Over the long run, it's the concluding line, where we did the last paragraph. So set some money aside, depending on your situation, and bank CDs or T-bills. They're all chicken money havens. You don't get rich, but you don't get poor. But don't lose faith in the future. That's never been a winning bet. That's the savage truth. Now, above that is a paragraph that says, I remember a decade, the decade of the 70s, where the Dow fell, believe this or not, below 600 in 1973. It was still below 800 by 1982, a decade later. And it was a tough decade. And if to be a stock market investor, and some bear markets take stocks down. So I'm walking a fine line here between saying, yep, John, you have a terrific long time horizon. You keep putting money there in the 401k plan at work, and you keep buying the S&P 500 stock index fund. It's never been good to bet against America. Oh, by the way, Warren Buffett's annual meeting. It just occurred to me, because I quote Buffett in here too about not betting against America. Saturday is the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. It will be the first time, and I've been waiting for him to say something. Warren Buffett has, let me get these exact numbers. Warren Buffett has over $300 billion now in U.S. Treasury bills. He owns more, Berkshire Hathaway that is, than the Fed owns, because they buy Treasury securities. He has had raised a lot of cash over the last year. We've made mention of that.
He sold out on Apple.
He has not given up on America. And if you want the little message that I gave in the newsletter that'll go out, maybe I should wait till after I hear what he says on Saturday to send it. I'm going to bet that he's going to say the same thing. Don't bet against America.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a lot of questions for Terry. You can jump in on the phone as well. Terry, would it be a good idea to take a chunk of my IRA and put it into a money market? We are 50-50, but less than $500,000. I don't want to keep losing money.
How old are you? There's never been a 20-year period where you lost money in that S&P 500 index fund going back 100 years now, starting in 1926. So, do you have a 20-year time horizon? Are you in your 50s? You're not going to have to start taking money out of your IRA till 73. You're going to keep working? Then not. But if you're getting closer to retirement or in retirement and it's keeping you up at night, of course move some money inside your IRA. Don't take it out. Don't deal with the taxes. But if you're all in stock market mutual funds, at 50-50, the market will go higher in the next 5 years. I think it will. But it could go a lot lower first. And if that happens and you panic, well, why expose yourself to that emotional risk?
Is 73 the RMD age for everybody, Terry?
It is now, but in a couple of years, I forget when, it goes up to 75.
312-981-7200. We'll pick it up here with Terry and your questions in a minute. 312-981-7200. Here's more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Home prices are up again in the Chicago area and have climbed to more than twice the national average. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index for February shows home prices in the Chicago metro were up 6.9%. That's nearly twice the national increase of 3.9%. A separate report for March by Illinois Realtors shows a 6.1% increase in both the city and the nine-county metro area. That report showed a 2.7% increase nationally. The Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago is expanding overseas. Bloomberg reports the private school is extending its coursework offerings to Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and South America. New international students may or may not eventually come to the U.S. for further study. The move comes as American universities brace for enrollment declines because of shifting immigration policy. Illinois Tech is a science and engineering-focused school with more than 7,600 students. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, now the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And the late Dan Fogelberg is helping us out today on the business of food.
Born in the valley.
The Peoria native had a big hit in 1981, Run for the Roses.
Of Western Kentucky, on wobbly knees.
And a bunch of those wobbly-kneed colts are now full-grown and will be running for the roses on Saturday, the Kentucky Derby. It's the biggest day of the year for Churchill Downs, the company that owns the Derby, and it could use a big day. Shares of Churchill Downs are off 33% this year, and the company is pausing a $900 million renovation. But that isn't getting in the way of Saturday's party, where 150,000 are expected to show up, spending thousands of dollars on tickets and fancy clothing and hats and mint juleps and hot browns and burgoo and derby pie. But I will tell you how you can do that for a lot less money after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. Let's find out how you can get all gussied up and enjoy the Kentucky Derby without leaving Chicago.
We have a special menu that features some of our favorite foods from Kentucky and the Run for the Roses, like we have the hot brown and fried green tomatoes, the mint julep, and all of that.
That's Michelle Dupretti, the third-generation owner of Jean and Giorgetti's, which is hosting a derby party Saturday afternoon, and the beneficiary will be a horse-related charity.
Storybook Farm in Opelika, Alabama, takes horses for the most part, but other animals as well, in, and they use them as therapy animals to help children overcome everything from immense grief to any kind of developmental issue that they may be facing. And it's very personal for us because we actually have a horse there and works as a therapy horse with children in need.
So you can spend thousands of dollars to go to Kentucky to watch what's called the greatest 2 minutes in sports, or you can go to Jean and Giorgetti's and have fun while doing good.
You can come dressed in your favorite hat, outfit, whatever derby inspiration. Good party and a good cause.
On the food calendar, it's National Raisin Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We have a few more minutes with Terry Savage. More questions for you, Terry?
Absolutely.
Terry, can I buy treasury bills through my Roth IRA with Fidelity?
Yes, you can use the brokerage division of Fidelity to buy T-bills in an IRA, either Roth or traditional.
Hey, John Williams, the Dow was 17,000 in 2015. It's 40,000 now. Stock market? Yes.
Absolutely. Over the long run, that's a whole major point.
But remember, past performance does not indicate future performance. And consult your broker. That's
how about 20-year? Never been a 20-year period where you lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company stocks with dividends reinvested, even adjusted for inflation, according to Ibbotson Market Historians. In other words, hang in there for 20 years and you won't lose it. There's a great chart that shows how far out the market, diversified portfolio, has outperformed inflation and T-bills. But not everybody has that long time horizon or
Understood.
That strength of character.
Spouse and I are 63 years old. We know we should have a will and trust and a financial planner, long-term care insurance, sign up for Medicare soon. We're overwhelmed. In what order should we do these things?
Okay, don't be overwhelmed. Number one, go to terrysavage.com. On the top right, there's some boxes. Find your trusted financial advisor. It will link you to WealthRamp, my friend Pam Kruger's fee-only fiduciary financial planning brokerage connection service, not a brokerage, I mean a matching service is the word I wanted, so that you know that the person you're talking with is trusted and not and is on your side, and that there's a set fee. You'll pay a little bit. It's worth it to get good advice. Second of all, look on my page, slide down under financial links. I made a video explaining revocable living trusts and wills and why you need one now. So if you don't know what to do, I think I have a link in there to Carrie Peck, who's always on WGN Radio, my favorite estate planning attorney. So yes, you can start that right away, because the first step is to get organized. Download on the top right again, my personal financial organizer. Write down everything you own, where it is, all the information. Set that up with your estate planning attorney, and probably you want to create a revocable living trust. Get an overall financial planner, not a broker, not somebody who makes money because you do transactions, or who is only based, fees are based on assets under management, so that if you go buy treasury bills with a third of your money, they lose money, so they don't tell you to do that. You want somebody who's really on your side looking after you.
Judy, you've got a question for Terry Savage. You're on WGN Radio. Hi. Hi, Judy. Judy said she sold her house. Are you still there, Judy?
Yes, I am.
And you want to know what to do with the $175,000 in your pocket. Is that right?
Yeah. Half of it is in the bank right now, and this $175,000 is coming to me within the next few days.
Where are you going to live?
I'm living in a rental apartment right now in Tennessee, moving from Illinois.
I see. So you
and I don't want to buy again at 85, and I don't know how to invest this second portion of the assets. I do have a financial planner. We do have a trust set up in Illinois, but I have to do it now here in Tennessee. But I just am in a quandary. The money's coming in the next few days. I don't want to just put it in the bank.
Okay.
Why? Judy, why not just put it in the bank and earn about 3.5% in a money market deposit account at your bank?
I think that would be the safest at my age.
Absolutely the safest. I don't know how much money you got first, but you're insured up to $250,000, and I don't think banks are going bankrupt these days. They're making money. But up to $250,000, or use two banks. Use a big bank. I'm sure Chase has branches in Tennessee. And absolutely, that's where this money belongs. You don't want to get rich, but you don't want to get poor. As far as your revocable living trust, yes, it needs to be redone once you establish residence in Tennessee. Good move to do that. But it doesn't have to change anything else. So your attorney can work with a Tennessee estate planning attorney and just redo the documents with your new state of residence.
Good luck to you,
Judy. Don't get overwhelmed.
Has Terry spoken recently to Dr. Bob Frelick? And I'm curious about his forecast. He was very bullish in January.
You know, Dr. Bob had a health challenge a couple of weeks ago. So, in fact, a couple of nights ago, I sent him an email saying, how you doing? So as soon as he's ready to comment on the market, I will bring it to you immediately. But remember, I wanted to call him the day when the market was crashing. And he said, Terry, I can't talk to you. I'm going in for tests. So I know he came through that with flying colors. And as soon as he's ready to comment, I will drag him back on the radio.
When I use your link, Terry, for Treasury bills, the page shows 2.7 and 3.98. Am I missing something?
Yeah. Go to terrysavage.com. Let me go home and let me read how to buy Treasury bills and see if it didn't update. And it says, as of April 23rd, the yield on a 26-week, 6-month T-bill is 4.2%,
okay,
which is last week. That's about what it is
now. That's what we were talking about. All right. Well, then refresh your browser, and we will refresh this conversation next week, Terry.
Absolutely. Looking forward.